believe it or not, everybody's on a journey home. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hi, I'm Father Jay Finelli from the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Shortly, I'll be at my 100th episode and would like to invite you to take part in our 100th show giveaway. You'll have a chance to win a brand new iPod Nano and some other great things. So head over to iPadre.net, subscribe to the show, and listen in for the details. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. All things Catholic, and then some.
Hello, this is Marcus Grody, the host of the Journey Home program and Deep in Scripture, and you're listening to Joel McClain, The Catholic Hack.
Welcome back to The Catholic Hack. I'm Joel McClain. This is episode number 39, and today we're going to finish our conversation with Marcus Grody. We left off with Marcus being invited back to EWTN by Mother Angelica, this time to start a show of his own, and that would become The Journey Home. Now, that's an excellent program. If you have not already seen it, I highly encourage you to go and check that out. If you do not have EWTN on your cable channel lineup, then you can go to the website at EWTN.com, and there you can actually see the streaming video of their actual programming live right off the website. So please, stop by the website, EWTN.com, and check that out. On Friday, I had an interview scheduled with Matt Pinto from Ascension Press, but unfortunately it didn't work out. Matt was called away on a business trip, and there was a conflict in the schedule, and I was not able to record that interview. We're going to reschedule that for February, so please look forward to that. Matt Pinto is the founder of Ascension Press. He's also the author of Did Adam and Eve Have Belly Buttons? He's the co-creator of the Friendly Defender cards for kids. These are apologetic cards that we use here with our children. They're fantastic Catholic resources. So please look forward to that interview in February. But as fate would have it, I end up speaking to his agent over there at the Maximus Group, and we had a great conversation. And as it turned out, she had asked me if I would be willing to be a regular contributor to a new radio program that they're hoping to develop that would be aired on at least 30 Catholic radio stations across the country. So, and I said, absolutely, I would be so blessed to be a part of that. So as that develops, and you know, I prayerfully it will develop, and I get more detail, I'll definitely share that with you. So please keep that into your prayers, and I'll let you know more detail as I get that. I also want to let you know that I'm bringing Tarek Saab back on the podcast. I interviewed Tarek back in October, and he has written a book called Gut Check, and he's going to be putting that out in March. So he's going to come back on the show, and we're going to discuss Gut Check. He sent me a copy of this book, and I finished reading it just recently. And I have to tell you, I was blown away by this book. It was really, really well done. This is a story of his journey through college to his professional career, through his conversion, and culminating in his marriage and the beginning of his new journey. And I have to tell you, it really resonated with me. It was as if I was reading my own story, looking at my own journey. And it was really amazing. So I'm highly recommending this book as well, especially to men. I think you're going to find this book speaks to your heart. And I think you'll discover what I discovered in this book, in this journey, this gut check. You know, and you're going to find that you're going to not be able to put it down. You're going to want to read the next page. It really is a page turner. And so I think you'll enjoy it. And that's why we're bringing Tariq Saab back on the podcast so we can discuss that in greater detail. So look for that in February. I believe I have that set up for February the 7th, that interview. And I may or may not try you streaming that. I've tried you streaming a couple of times, but I don't have the hang of it quite yet. So I may or may not try it, and I'll let you know if I do. And what I might do is send out a message through Facebook, which should maybe be an incentive for you to join Facebook and join the Catholic Hack podcast group. There you can subscribe, and I can send out messages to you letting you know what's going on. You can also check out the Twitter. You can, if you join Twitter, I send out little Twitter updates all the time, and I also use that as a mechanism to let people know what's going on. But of course, there's always the blog, www.catholichack.com, where you can see new posts, you can see pictures of the guests that we have on this podcast, you can download all the previous podcasts. You can also pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt and mug right off the blog. You'll see the link there. I have a picture of the t-shirt. If you just click on that, that'll take you to the web store where you can pick up your own Catholic Hack t-shirt. And I hope you'll do that, and I hope you'll take a picture of yourself and send it to me. I'm eagerly anticipating the very first picture I'll receive of someone wearing a Catholic Hack t-shirt, and so that I can post that on the blog. So please consider doing that today. If you haven't already, please check out the new Catholic Hack bookstore. You'll find the link to that on the blog as well, but it's quite easy. It's www.catholiccompany.com/Catholic Hack. Catholic Hack is all lowercase. It's all one word. But again, the link is on the blog, www.catholichack.com, and you'll see it'll say the Catholic Hack bookstore. So just click on that, and there you'll see all the resource materials that I'm always recommending on this podcast, the ones that I love myself so much. And some of them are books I still have yet to read or I want to read. And a lot of them are books that I have read and ones that I really love. So I highly recommend them. And today, you're going to hear Marcus Grodi talk about his two books on there. One is The Journey's Home, and the other is How Firm a Foundation. And you can buy both of those books at the Catholic Hack bookstore. So please, stop by that bookstore today and consider picking those up. You're going to support thecatholiccompany.com, who is striving to bring great Catholic resources to the faithful, as well as this podcast. So thank you very much for that consideration. Well, today I thought we'd ask our Blessed Lady to intercede for us and for all of our needs, for your needs in particular. Let's do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Mother of God, we come and ask you, we beg your intercession, that you who are standing before the face of God Almighty, pure and holy, that you might beg His grace to be upon the listeners of this podcast. I pray, O Holy Mother, and I ask you that you will whisper the names of each of these listeners into the ear of your Son, and ask Him to bestow His grace upon them, to look past their iniquity, and to provide for each one of their needs. O Holy Mother, you know that they are challenged every single day with temptation, with sin, with depression and distress, with needs, real needs. And I beg of you, as the Holy Mother that you are, that you will care for each one of them, that you will walk beside them, praying for them constantly, encouraging them in the faith, and leading every single one of them to your Holy Son, our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've got to dive deep again, and we've got to roll up our sleeves and get back into the truth with Marcus Grody.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and the door. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in the school. Repent and commit.
Roger
that. As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to persist. To change and sustain the way I think it exists. To feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
What's interesting behind the program is that the main reason that Mother wanted the program was because every week she would receive letters from Catholics who were bemoaning the fact that their children and siblings had left the church. And they were discouraged. And Mother thought if they could hear converts week after week after week, he would give them hope. If this guy or this woman can come back to the church, well, then maybe my children can.
Yeah.
So her main reason was to encourage Catholics. I agree with that reason, but my main reason for the journey home is to tell our separated brethren about the truth of the church.
You know, when I converted to the Catholic Church in 98 when I received my sacraments, but honestly, I was pretty agnostic still, and I would classify myself as a cafeteria Catholic at that point. My true conversion came later in 2002, and when I was when the Lord set me on fire for the Catholic faith, and I started to study everything I could get my hands on, it was at that point that I began a debate with my father, who is still Protestant. And I remember saying to him, I was sharing with him, you know, Scott Hahn's conversion. I sent him a tape of Scott Hahn's conversion. And my father's response to it was, well, so this is just one person. There are thousands leaving the Catholic Church. And that was very discouraging. And then I found the Journey Home program. And then I was encouraged. It did help me to feel reassured and not, you know, so depressed that there is a lot of people coming into the church, finding the truth. And I would say the numbers probably are underrated.
I would say so. Well, here for a number of reasons. Now, the Catholic Church does not make a big publicity stunt out of converts in the church because of its commitment to... See, the church is very committed to the idea of corporate unity. You know, Jesus established one church. We really need everybody to come home. Why? Not so that we can make more money. We need them to come home because they need the graces of the sacraments for their own salvation. That's why they ought to be home.
Right.
Outside the church, we believe in God's mercy, but we also recognize that we can't be certain that the sacraments or the ordinances of these other Christian traditions give grace. We can't say for certain. We know it's true of the Catholic sacraments, so that's why we want them home. But, you know, what amazes me about the Journey Home program and is that here I am 10 years, and it's not that my guests, that I'm having a hard time finding guests, or that I'm having a hard time finding good guests.
Right.
They continually are strong, very mature, well-informed, deeply committed Christians that love the church and are, the point is, they are committed to following Jesus completely, not just in a truncated way, but fully, which means being a part of the church he established.
And their sincerity is so evident. It comes through so well on that program, and their inspiration, really, I think you can't say enough about how I think that program is being effective with the faithful. And because it's a Catholic satellite network, how many non-Catholics do you think are actually being able to view that or plug in, send feedbacks and questions, anything along those lines?
Well, EWTN does not do the ratings surveys like other networks because EWTN doesn't use advertising, so it doesn't have to sell anybody on how many people watch. They don't really know to a certain extent. Right. However, they do know to a certain, you know, that
sure.
I was told that it's that my potential audience every time one of my programs is on could reach almost 1 billion people worldwide.
Wow.
Because it's television, it's radio, it's shortwave, sure. even now internet. I mean, it's just amazing.
Right.
So, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
But what is really, I tell my guests every week, I don't tell them that. That would scare them. I wait till after the show to tell them that. But
yeah.
Beforehand, I do tell them that they estimate from donations and letters and emails and other correspondence that 30 to 40% of the audience of EWTN are not Catholic.
Wow. That's
yes,
huge.
So, yes, it is. It, even the donors, a high percentage of donors are not Catholic.
No kidding.
And so when we do the program, we're not just speaking to the Catholic choir. We're speaking to a lot of people. And I get emails and letters and correspondence from a lot of non-Catholics who regularly watch the program. So my guests are, in fact, speaking to our separated brethren, and I pray that they're doing it in a charitable way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. That's a huge percentage of your audience, that
yeah.
that fertile ground you can reach. That's just phenomenal. Praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure I was interviewing Steve Ray the other day, and I asked him what was his favorite video that he had produced, and he said, "Well, they're all my favorite. They're like my kids." And I'm about to ask you, what's your favorite conversion story? Which you'll probably say the same thing, but so I'll put it this way: which conversion stories or guests have maybe moved you the most or inspired you the most?
That is very difficult for me, and maybe a way different than what my good buddy Steve Ray says. and part of it is that often when the program's over, I don't remember the details because I don't know if the audience appreciates this. When you're doing live television, I wear a lot of hats at the same time. I'm listening to my guests. I'm thinking about the program. I'm looking at possible phone calls. I'm reading possible emails. I'm keeping track of time. I'm trying to listen to my guests both through the ears of a Catholic and a Protestant. You know, I'm doing a million things. So it's often at the end of the program, I'm not even sure how well the program went. You know, and what's funny is on those weeks when it's all done and I don't feel that it went well, invariably I get an email from somebody that says, you know, that was the best program so far. So I mean, it's really amazing how the Holy Spirit works in that way. So to say which was my favorite guest is very hard for me.
I'm sure.
There are a few that really stick out. One of them was Father Krajicek.
Okay.
He was he was born a Catholic. I think he comes from Eastern Catholic heritage, but was brought up in Canada where he couldn't celebrate the Eastern Catholic heritage, so he was brought up Latin Rite. Eventually left the church, became a biker out in California. I mean, just way, way out there in left field. Came back, powerful conversion, is now an Eastern Catholic monk.
Wow.
And was one of the most informed, inspiring of all the guests we've had. They've all been good. He's one of my favorites. Guy Gruner, who was a lifelong Catholic but had abandoned the faith, was an ace pilot during Vietnam days, flew 200 missions
wow.
over Vietnam, was eventually captured, kept in solitude for 5 years,
wow.
but converted back to the faith while he was in prison, while he was being forced to starve himself to death. He was ready to commit suicide, and he remembered from when he was a child that he was taught that suicide was a mortal sin. And it was that memory in solitude that brought him back to faith.
Wow.
I mean, just some powerful conversion stories
yeah.
that all of them remind me that conversion primarily is not a result of logical argument, apologetics, information, that ultimately it is the work of grace.
Mm.
It is a mystery of the work of God, how he opens somebody's heart to help them see the fullness, and then that grace then can nurture them along until they're willing to make sometimes a very drastic decision in their life. And every week I pray that the audience hears that sincerity in the words of my guest.
Wow. How powerful is that? So how did the Deep in Scripture come about? Now, I know that you were doing the Open Line program for a while, and you stopped doing that. You relinquished that to Patrick Madrid, and then you started this radio program. Let's talk about that.
Well, I guess I've always thought about how neat it would be to do Scripture radio. I remember when I was a Protestant, there was always somebody doing Scripture radio, and there's some that have been around forever. Can't remember the name of one particular Protestant radio program. I think it was recorded 50 years ago, and it's still going strong.
Mm.
But when becoming a Catholic, I even more saw the need for Scripture on radio from a Catholic perspective, because Protestant Scripture radio is based on Sola Scriptura. And when you listen to Protestant television, what's amazing that I didn't even see before, and I don't think Protestants see enough, if you go to one of those major Protestant television networks, if you watch it for 6 hours straight, you'll see 12 programs, one after the other, each one contradicting the last.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way Protestant radio is.
Right.
Depending on who you're listening to, you're getting a different slant on Scripture, whether it's health and wealth gospel,
right,
or the charismatics, or whatever it is. So to do Catholic radio has always been a dream, but I never thought that it would happen. Well, as my time with EWTN has increased, and I've proven to EWTN that usually I don't have to, the hook doesn't have to come out and drag me off the air. They can trust me. That the door opened for radio, and I was doing the live, but my heart wasn't quite in that.
Mm.
It's just, some people just, like Pat loves that, and Pat and I are good friends, and that's why I said, Pat, tell you what, I'm thinking of doing Scripture. You want to take over for me? And he said, sure. And he does it extremely well.
Mm.
But the goal of my Scripture is really to help, hopefully, Protestant listeners hear the interpretation of Scripture from a Catholic perspective. And
yeah,
that's our goal in the Deep in Scripture program. And as you mentioned earlier, the idea of being connected with history,
yeah,
is very, very important to Scripture study.
You know, and my experience has been, and I'm sure you feel the same way, most people I encounter do, when they go to the parish-level Bible study, for me personally, I get frustrated. I get frustrated because it's too surface level most of the time. And
yeah,
when you encounter a Scripture study that has the courage to dive deep and really go after it, boy, I get so excited. I dive right in. And when I was teaching the youth ministry at my former parish up in New Hampshire, those teenagers, they ate it up. They,
yeah,
you know, they weren't scared of the good stuff, and you didn't need to relativize it too much, you know. And I think that's what makes it powerful, and that's why it's a good program, in my opinion. You know, we really go after the meat and potatoes, which makes our Catholic theology so much more deep and meaningful and beautiful than most of the Protestant stuff you're going to find out there.
Well, I couldn't agree more. As evangelicals, one thing evangelicals might have over a majority of Catholics is this real love and trust of the Bible.
Right.
I mean, the reason you get down to a great evangelical Bible study and you dig it in and good stuff is because you really believe that when I open this and I look at this page, that I believe I'm going to hear God speaking to me.
Mm.
And that there's something in there. Well, Catholics should believe that.
Right.
That's why we have the Bible. That was the Catholic bishops that set the canon and have always said that we should study the Bible that way. The problem is that too often Catholics mainly are connected with the Bible through the lectionary. So we hear it on Sundays, or we hear it during the week, or maybe they might do Liturgy of the Hours, but they often don't even touch their Bible because they're using a lectionary where it's divided up and spread out according to the season.
Right.
And so the idea of doing the script, like right now we're doing Ephesians, and doing it from the beginning and verse by verse and word by word and what's it saying to us, and really believing that God is trying to teach us, and that there's nothing for Catholics to be afraid in the study of Scripture,
mm-hmm,
and that we must study Scripture in the context of how it was written and how the early church understood it and how the church has understood it for 2,000 years and how it fits into the full package of theology, there's nothing to be afraid of. In
right.
fact, every time our Catholic faith is confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in, when you start to study even archaeology.
Yeah.
You know, or science, you know, it really marries so well and so perfectly,
yeah.
you know, almost as if it was God inspired, you know,
yeah.
and it
yeah.
is, and that's the beauty of it. So encouraging us Catholics to dive deeper is a main staple, a part of my own podcast, and so that's why I appreciate what the work you're doing. The only request that I would make to you is make it available as a download, as a podcast.
Well, actually, I think it is.
I looked. I couldn't find it.
Well, it's supposed to be. Let me look here. It's supposed to be. In fact, if you go to the website, our website is deepinscripture.com. Tell that to your listening audience. When you go to deepinscripture.com, I'm doing it as I'm speaking, just to make sure that there should be a link to the podcast here. Ma'am, if there isn't now, there will be. Because I know we have all the archived programs are up there, so they can listen to an MP3 of every Deep in Scripture program for the last 2 years are available. And the other thing that I do is I always post on the website a PDF copy of the notes that Jim and I are following, so they can have the notes. In fact, I know of a couple churches that use the notes and then listen to the program for a local Bible study. It's a bit scary to think that they're doing that. But the other thing I was going to tell you is that I was told that when you go to the iTunes store, that the Deep in Scripture is pretty high up on the list when it comes to religious programming, which is amazing to me. But that there are people actually out there listening to me, that's scary.
Well, I mean, I'm on your website right now, deepinscripture.com, and I'm going to post that as a link on the show notes on the blog, and I'll reiterate it when I put this show out to all the listeners. But what I don't see is a method to subscribe to the podcast on your site. I see all of the MP3s, but not a subscription method. So I'll check out the iTunes store and see if I can't get a link there and provide that, because obviously I want to encourage everyone to subscribe to that. And I myself want to get it on a routine basis as well, and because it's such great material. And now,
there is a podcast on, it's called CHNI, called Deep in Scripture, on the iTunes store. And you can subscribe to that. You go to it. And rate 5 stars. That's amazing to me. I got a bunch of people. They got 3 reviews, and they all got 5 stars. Praise be to Jesus. And there you can get all of our shows going back to 206. So it is available there if they want to go through iTunes.
Fantastic. Tell us a minute about your co-host.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Marcus?
I just lost you for a second there.
Sorry. Give us a little bit about your co-host. Tell us a little bit about Jim.
Jim, yeah, he's my assistant director here at the Coming Home Network. He's the staff member that actually now spends the majority of his time dealing with clergy and missionaries and academics on the journey, who we call our primary members. So he's the one that does the real grunt work helping these men and women on their journey home. Jim was a Protestant, went to seminary, and while he was in seminary, he converted to the church. And he's been with the work now for 7 or 8 years. And he's also the one, person that schedules my guests for the Journey Home program. So he's very
fantastic.
Involved with that. And he's fun to have on the program. He's got a wealth of knowledge, both from his seminary studies as well as his just his interests in history and archaeology.
Fantastic. I just found the podcast on the iTunes store, and you've got up to 93 episodes there listed. So I'm going to provide that link to everybody on the blog so they can get signed up today. That's fantastic. Tell me, how cool is it to work with Mother Angelica?
Well, It's one of the greatest privileges of my life. I'm always asked how Mother's doing, and I don't see her. I mean, she's a contemplative nun up in the monastery about an hour north of the television program. So I fly down from Columbus, Ohio, to Birmingham, Alabama, just about every Monday.
Wow.
And then do the live program at night and fly home on Tuesday. So I really have time to go up to the monastery, but so I don't see her very often.
Mm.
But Mother is an amazing person. She, her faith in Christ is very sincere, very deep, and it's because she believes so strongly that God guides our lives and has called us to do certain things, and that there's nothing we need fear if we are sincerely following God, that she has been able to do such amazing things for the Lord. And so it's a great privilege to work with Mother Angelica.
Oh, wow, praise God. Do they keep you up to date about, you know, her health condition or anything along those lines?
If you go to the EWTN website, they always have a posting there how she's doing. She's doing
good.
Very well.
Good.
I think, you know, again, the problem, pray for her, mentally she's just sharp as a tack. There's not a problem there. But because of her stroke, she has a hard time speaking.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't hear on television anymore.
Yeah.
I would like to take a moment to talk about my book that I wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. That was next, yeah.
I have two books. One, Journeys Home, which is a collection of conversion stories, which are we have a newsletter published monthly in the Coming Home Network. If anyone's interested in that, they can go to our website, chnetwork.org, and sign up for the newsletter. Every month we publish another conversion story, and the book Journeys Home has 30 or so of those. But I also wrote a novel, How Firm a Foundation. And the reason I wrote a novel was I wanted my father to understand why I would resign from the Protestant ministry to become Catholic. And I would give him all kinds of great nonfiction books about the church, Carl Keating's books and Scott Hahn's books and Steve Ray's and, you know, all the different books that teach what the Catholic Church actually believes.
Mm.
And he would say, thank you, and then he'd put them up on the shelf. He'd never get around to reading them.
Oh, wow.
Because my dad primarily always read fiction. I don't think there was a day of his life that he wasn't reading a novel. So I figured the only way I'm going to get him to hear me is if I write a novel. So I wrote How Firm a Foundation, which is the story of a Protestant minister dealing with his search for truth. It isn't autobiographical, but a lot of the ideas in the book connect with my own conversion as well as others. In fact, there's not a thing in the story that isn't somehow based on some true incident in some convert's life.
Wow.
So, in a way, the book How Firm a Foundation is a, you might call it, another arrow in our quiver of apologetics for those that love fiction. Well, you can give this book to them, and prayerfully, hopefully, that by reading it, they might be open to the Catholic faith.
That's fantastic, because actually for Christmas, and we bought my son a couple of Catholic novels in hopes that, you know, he'll also learn his faith better. And I was thinking to myself, this is probably one area of literature that the Catholic Church hasn't really tapped into enough.
Not lately. I mean, if you go back 100 years, the Catholic novelists were more willing to include a presentation of the faith in novels. But in the 20th century, most Catholic novelists moved away from that. For example, I'm a great fan of Flannery O'Connor. I've read every one of her books, and I love her writings. It can be a bit difficult, but I enjoy her writings. But there are very few people that were converted to the Catholic Church through reading Flannery.
Mm.
Now, as much as I like her stuff, that's not what she was trying to do. She was trying to prick the heart in a unique way, but she wasn't trying evangelistically. That wasn't part of her goal. Neither Graham Greene nor even Evelyn Waugh, they're great Catholic writers, but that was not what they were trying to accomplish. And I think particularly today, Catholic writers are not doing that, and some are starting to more and more, and I'm glad to see that.
Mm.
it's hard to get published, so that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. So, who's publishing your book again?
Well, we published it ourselves, the Coming Home Network. But part of the reason was that we saw it as not so much a marketing item, though it is available in Christian and Catholic bookstores or on Amazon.com, but we wanted this book to be the kind of a book that a Catholic would buy to give to a friend.
Yeah.
You know, as a gift, like Christmas or birthday or whatever, then they might read it, and who knows? The Spirit might open their heart to the church.
Wow. Praise God. And what's the best place to go to get that? Is it Amazon.com?
I'd say there's a lot of places. Again, the title of the book is How Firm a Foundation by CH Resources. And if you did a search on the Internet, you'd find it at a lot of places. Amazon.com, you can get it through EWTN's catalog. You can get it from our website. Go to chnetwork.org. You can buy it there.
I'll post that link on the blog as well when I put out the podcast.
Great, thank you.
I want to make sure everybody gets a hold of that. On your journeys home, it's funny. I was given a fantastic opportunity to go to work full-time in Catholic ministry by a gentleman named Chris O'Bear, who was in your Journey's Home, and he gave me a copy of that article from your newsletter, and I read it, and I was pretty blown away by it. So what a small world. That's fantastic.
Yep.
And can anybody get a hold of that newsletter just by subscribing on the website?
If you go to the website and basically become a member of the Coming Home Network, then I think to be a member, you've got to give some donation. It doesn't have to be very much, you know, $5 or whatever.
Right.
But we get on the mailing list, basically. And I'm just going to it now as we speak just to see. Yeah, and somewhere where it says become a member. When you click on become a member, it'll have a way you can fill out your name. And then once you're in the mailing list, you can get the newsletter. Also, on our website, there's a link to conversion stories. We have all the conversion stories that have been in our newsletters you can read, and you can also get a PDF of all the past newsletters from the website.
Wow.
So you can read and see if you like them, and then subscribe.
Fantastic. What's coming? What's new? What's coming downrange for us, Marcus?
Oh, well, I'm surprised I didn't mention this. One of the most exciting things we've done the last couple of years is we sponsor a conference every fall called the Deep in History Conference. And it's based on the same thing you said earlier, Joe, about how important, as Newman said, to become deep in history is to cease to be Protestant.
And right.
So every year we have a conference based on a theme, and we've done five. The first year was just the importance of being deep in history. The second year, we did an entire conference on the early church fathers. The third year, we did an entire conference on the Continental Reformation, Luther and Calvin.
Wow.
The next year, we did the English Reformation. And then this last year, we had an entire conference of speakers on the coming of the faith to America. Basically covered the Catholic Church in America before the Revolution. And then this coming October, we'll have our sixth conference, and when we're looking at the battle for the faith in America during the 1800s particularly. And our speakers are usually, you know, either academics or writers who deal with history, but our goal is for the conference not to be an academic conference. And if you go to our website, all of the tapes from the last 5 years are available if people want to to get. And I can guarantee you that there are some amazingly inspiring talks on the importance of history in our faith. And I encourage anyone to go there and take a look at those tapes.
Where are you holding these conferences?
In Columbus, Ohio.
In Columbus. And yeah. How? And when's the next one?
It'll be in October, at the end of this coming October. If you go to the website, there's a logo for the conference that usually tells a summary of what's going to be at the conference. Eventually, we'll be able to list the speakers. Looks like this year, both Hans and Monsignor Lane, Jeff Cavins, Paul Thigpen, Kenneth Howell, Father Ryland, and myself, Father Charles Connor, are among the speakers who have been invited. So,
wow.
Again, at our website, you can get all the information you need about the conference.
That's pretty fantastic. That's a pretty good lineup you got there. You can't go wrong with
every
that.
Every year, it's been really good. I mean, I guarantee to any listener, if they order one of the tapes, that they'll be very inspired by the discussions on history. I mean, last year's conference, especially talking about the Jesuit missionaries, just great talks. I highly recommend them.
Fantastic. Well, Marcus, I really appreciate the time that you've taken today to speak with me and allowing me to share you with my audience. It's been a real treat, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thank you for doing this work. I really appreciate it, and it's using one of those great technologies that God has given us to use for the spread of the gospel, and I ask God's blessing on your work, and thank you for inviting me to be your guest.
Thank you. Praise God and amen. Well, there you have it, Marcus Grody from EWTN and the Coming Home Network. Thank you very much, Marcus, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to let me interview you and bring you on as a guest on the Catholic Hack podcast. Well, stick around, because next week we're going to hear from Christopher West, another one of my all-time favorites. He has influenced my life in a humongous way, and I was so privileged to be able to talk to him a couple of weeks ago, actually, and record an interview with him, and I'm going to share that with you next week. Well, also, please do consider stopping by iTunes and leaving me a review there. That has, as I said many times now, has helped out greatly to increase the standing on iTunes web store and to get this podcast out to more and more people. And that's the work of evangelization, and that's your work. So thank you very much for that. I greatly appreciate your support. Stop by the blog at www.catholichack.com and reach out to me. Leave me a post right there on the blog. Send me an email. Contact me on Twitter or on Facebook. Or you can call my voicemail feedback line, and I'll play that voicemail here on the podcast. So there's many ways, many, many ways for you to get a hold of me. Well, until next time, I truly appreciate your support for this podcast, and I'm praying for you. So please do continue to pray for me. May God richly bless you. God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.